I know that throughout Scripture there are a lot of difficult to understand things, some hard teachings that we struggle with and we work at to know and understand. But I think at heart, when we take a look at what Jesus' main teachings are, we find that they're actually quite simple. For instance, the gospel message itself, the good news. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, Jesus comes teaching, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Now I understand, of course, that this simple statement will be unpacked in numerous ways and in numerous different stories of Jesus' life and throughout the rest of his teaching and throughout the rest of the New Testament and through the epistles and through all that's written. I understand that. And yet, at heart, it's really a quite simple teaching. He says, the kingdom's coming. It's almost here. You need to believe that and you need to change. You need to quit being your own king and you need to let God be your king. It's just really that simple. There's another instruction that Jesus gives that really is quite simple. In fact, it's summed up in two words, and he says it again and again and again. And it's just very simply this: follow me. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 17, Jesus sees Peter and Andrew and James and John fishing, and he says to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 14, he sees Levi at his tax office. In parallel accounts, we recognize that's the same as Matthew. And he says to him, follow me. In John chapter 10 and verse 27, as he's talking about himself as the good shepherd, he says, I'm the good shepherd. The sheep know my voice, I know them, and they follow me. One of my favorite passages regarding this is in John 12, 26. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. I grasp that this idea of follow me will be unpacked more throughout the rest of Jesus' teaching, throughout the rest of the New Testament, throughout the rest of the Gospels and the Epistles. I understand that. But at heart, it's very simple. Follow me. Go where I go. Do what I do. Become what I am. Value what I value. Say the kind of things that I say. Jesus says, follow me. Do you know what the Bible word for the folks who have decided to follow him is? We call those people disciples. Disciples. In fact, we recognize that Jesus has given a great commission about those who would follow him, about those who would be disciples. At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, we see some of the final words of that account. Go therefore, he says, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. All that I have commanded you. Go make disciples, he says to the apostles. Go make followers. People who will go where I go. Who will say what I say. Who will live as I live. Who will do what I do. Go make those kinds of people. And do you recognize that he says that the way you make those kinds of people is by baptizing them, immersing them in water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And the question that I often have to ask as we get to this passage, that when he says teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, did he also mean for them to teach this command? I would think that's a part of all. And so what we find is their job was to make disciples and then teach those disciples to do what? Go make more disciples. Who were teaching those disciples to do what? Go make more disciples. Make more disciples until finally we get to the year 2021. And what's our commission? Our job is to be and to make disciples. To be and to make people who follow Jesus, who go where he goes, who say what he says, who do what he does. Our job is to be disciples. I want to talk about being a disciple. I hope that for most of us, this is a review. But I think it's been a long time since any of you have had a dream of the discipleship circle. And so, I want to talk about what it means for us to be a disciple for just a few moments. And then over the next couple of months, whenever I'm preaching, we're actually going to walk around this circle and dig a little bit more deeply into each of these aspects of discipleship. Today's just going to be the overview and the introduction. Would you pray with me, please, before we get started? God and Father in heaven, we do love you. And we want to follow your Son. He is our King. He is our Savior. We love you, Lord. And we pray that you would strengthen us to bring honor to you, to have wisdom of learning from you, to surrender and allow you to live through us, that we may love one another as you love, and that we would have the courage and the conviction to lead others to you. Lord God, we pray that wrapped around all of this, that we will abide within your word, that your word will govern us, that we will not do things simply because they make sense to us, we will not do things simply because they seem good to us, but we will do things because we've gotten into your word as you've revealed it to us, and we recognize that it's what you want us to do, and it's what you're directing us to do. Lord, we praise your name because you are worthy. Make us disciples. Grow us. Teach us. Lord God, we love you so very much. Thank you for loving us first. Through your Son Jesus, we pray. Amen. When we consider the idea of being a disciple, the first thing that we need to grasp and understand is that a disciple looks like his or her teacher, his or her master. That's what the goal of discipleship is. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 39, Jesus tells a little parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? Doesn't it just make sense that if your teacher or your leader or your master is blind and cannot see which direction to go, that when that master or teacher points you in a direction, it's probably not a direction you can trust all that much? That if you have your eyes closed and are blinded just like your master, which if your teacher is blind, then the teaching you're receiving from him is blind. Then when the master falls into the pit, guess where the disciple is going to fall? Into the pit. And so Jesus goes on and says, look, it can't be any other way than this, because a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. If your teacher is blind, you're going to grow up to be blind. Now that being said, this second statement that Jesus makes, though, provides a principle that applies no matter who your teacher is. Because what if your teacher is not blind? What if your teacher is quite seeing? In fact, what if your teacher is the one who sees most clearly and sees best? What if your teacher is the master teacher? Then what will happen when you follow that teacher? You will become like him. And that's the goal. That's the goal. For everything that we say today about being a disciple, understand that the big number one goal is for us to be like our teacher, and our teacher is Jesus Christ. Which means, by the way, that we must dig deeper and go further than just listening to whoever is standing on this stage. Our teacher must not be just whoever's standing at the front of the room. Our teacher must be getting into the Word and seeing what our teacher has said. And when we do that, then we don't fall into the pit. Rather, we find our way into the kingdom. Our goal at heart is to be like Jesus. What does it mean to be a disciple? I want to be a disciple. It means be like Jesus. And so everything that we have regarding this circle that I'm about to share with you is in hopes of being like Jesus. And I'm going to show you the things that Jesus did and what he has called us to do. And when we're doing those things, then we are being disciples. I trust that we recognize that a disciple is centered around God. At the center of the disciple's life is not self. It's not family. It's not education. It's not work. At the center of the disciple's life is God. And we need to understand that, and we need to grasp that, that everything about our lives needs to emanate from our relationship with God, needs to be governed by our relationship with God. I think we can see this in no less of a place than what Jesus calls the greatest commandment. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Every bit of you is supposed to love the Lord your God. There is no part of you that is allowed to be reserved to not love God. And there is no part of you that is allowed to be reserved to love something else more than God. In fact, any other love and every other love that we have, because we do know, and we'll point out later, that the second greatest command is to love our neighbor as ourselves. But we need to understand that that love actually emanates from the greatest love. Because I love God, and every part about me is centered on him and anchored in him, that is what is going to produce every other proper kind of love that I'm going to have. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, I think makes it very clear in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, when he says to us, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. We could put anything else as the last word in this sentence. If you have anything other than God as the last word of this sentence, he's pointing out to you, you cannot serve both. You can't serve God and money. You can't serve God and work. You can't serve God and family. You can't serve God and education. You can't serve God and politics. That is not to say that many of those other things don't have a place in the life of serving God, but those other things must be tools as a part of our serving God. They cannot take the place of God. We've said before, Jesus here is not advising us. He's not instructing us. He's not commanding us. He's merely stating a fact. It just can't be. There is no other way. You will have a master. There will be one that will be your master, and that one must be God. And therefore, the disciple's life is centered around God. And so we recognize that if I'm going to be a disciple, there are some habits that I need to develop. The first of which, a disciple honors God. A disciple whose life is centered around and based upon God, that disciple's life is focused on honoring God. Here's what we learn about Jesus. In John chapter 12 and verse 28, here Jesus is actually preparing for the most difficult part of his entire ministry and his life and his work. He's preparing for his execution. He says that it's coming. And he asks, what will I do? Will I pray that God will save me from this hour? No. Father, glorify your name. Jesus' goal, even in his death, was to glorify the name of the Father. And so it's not surprising that when he teaches us about discipleship, in John chapter 15 and verse 8, he says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be what? My disciples. When we are bearing fruit that brings glory to God, that glorifies God, we are disciples of Jesus Christ. Because that's what he was about. He was about glorifying God in life and in death. And he says that if we are going to be his disciples, we will bear exactly that kind of fruit, glorifying God. Now, I know what you're saying, Edwin. The verses say glorify, but you're using the word honors. Well, here's why. Here's why we use the word honors. Let me just ask you for a show of hands. Who has used the word glorify in a sentence this week? Other than in church. That doesn't count. All right, that's what I thought. We don't use that word. That's a churchy word, right? That's a word we only use in church. Okay, in fact, when we use it outside of church, we actually don't even use it as a very positive thing. Have you ever heard someone say, oh, they're just a glorified, and then whatever job that they don't like, which I am not going to say because your jobs are all good and I don't want to accidentally use one of yours. But somebody doesn't like it, and so they'll say, oh, he's just a glorified. We don't even use it in a positive way. So we wanted to use a term here that is one that we do use, that we do understand. We know what it means to honor. It means to glorify. It means to lift up. It means to magnify. It means to praise. It means to put in a high position, to place above me. That's what a disciple does. Jesus did that with the Father, whether it was in life or in death. That is what we as disciples are going to do with God. We are going to honor Him. And we're not just talking about when we gather here on Sunday morning, but when we leave here, we're going to honor God with our words, with our relationships, with our actions, with our goals, with our teaching, with our behavior. A disciple honors God. We recognize, however, that in addition to that, a disciple learns from God. A disciple learns from God. In fact, at heart, that's what a disciple is. A disciple is a learner. We might say a student. However, student, as our modern mind pictures students, doesn't really grasp what a disciple is. We often think of a student as someone who goes into a room, sits at a desk, copies what the teacher says, and then on Friday is able to regurgitate it and possibly pass the class. That's a student. This is actually much more like an apprentice, or for those who are the wisest among us, a Padawan. The person who follows them around, the person who goes where they go, who listens to what they say, who hears what they teach, who watches how they behave, and starts to try to mirror and copy and imitate. They're not just listening to the words and trying to figure out what's point one, point two, point three. They're watching the behavior, they're listening, and they're saying, I'm going to say those same things. I'm going to do those same things. I'm going to live that same way. I'm going to go those same places. That's what a disciple is, learning from God. Now, here's what's fascinating to me that Jesus says about himself, and I think this is important to recognize, that Jesus, incarnate deity, God in the flesh. If there was anyone who did not need to learn anything from anybody, it would be Jesus. And yet, what does he say about himself in John 8:28? I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father has taught me. He says, I listen to the Father. I follow him around. I do what he says. I say the same things he says. I say it the way he says it. He says, I have learned from the Father. And so in John 6:45, when Jesus quotes from Isaiah, he says of all the disciples, it is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. They will all be taught by God. He goes on to say that all those who have learned and heard from the Father will come to me. What is he saying about the disciples? He's not saying that standing up here on our stage is going to be Yahweh himself. He's not saying that when we go into our classrooms, the disciples are the one who go into the one where God is teaching. He's pointing out that everything that we learn must come from the Word. It must be anchored in God. We can learn a lot of great stuff from a lot of great people, but if we're going to be Jesus' disciples, we make sure that what we are learning is anchored in and comes from what God has said and revealed in His Word, recorded in the Bible. And so we understand that a disciple not only honors God, but a disciple learns from God. If you want to be a disciple, learn from God. We understand that a disciple loves like God. A disciple loves like God. The reality is, when we talk about being a disciple, being somebody who goes where Jesus goes and does what Jesus does, eventually we get around to acting like Jesus acts. And that's what we find here. How do I act? How do I behave? What is the behavior and the governing principle for my behavior? We've already recognized earlier the greatest command is that we would love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. It's not surprising then that that leads to a second command of loving your neighbor as yourself. We understand that we're going to be like Jesus in this if we are his disciples. And so Jesus says in John chapter 15 and verse 9, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." How did Jesus love the disciples? As the Father loved him. He had a standard. He had a model. He wasn't just doing whatever he decided was good in order to love his disciples. He loved them as the Father had loved him. Well, with that in mind, we should not be at all surprised that we who are striving to be like Jesus, that he's going to teach us in John chapter 13 about a new commandment. Love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, this fascinates me. I recognize that as Christians, we are going to have a distinct kind of love towards anyone and everyone. Our love for our family should stand out and shine above the love that everyone else has for their family. Our love for our neighbors, no matter who they are, is going to stand out and shine above the love that everyone else has for their neighbors. Our love for our enemies should stand out and shine above everything, every love that everyone else has for their enemies. But do you notice in this passage, the distinct mark, the distinguishing love here is a love for one another. Jesus says people in the world should be able to look at how we treat one another and be able to say, those guys must be disciples of Jesus. Look at how they interact with one another. Look at how they love one another. Look at how they care for one another. Look at how they don't allow all this junk that's going on in the world to impact the way they treat one another. Look at how they disagree on vaccines and masks and politics and yet still love one another. Sorry, trying to be relevant. That's the point. They should see us and how we interact with one another and be able to say, those people look like Jesus. Look at how they're going to the cross for one another. Because a disciple loves like God. A disciple loves like God. A disciple honors God. A disciple learns from God. A disciple loves like God. But because a disciple loves God and loves people, a disciple is not satisfied with stopping there. A disciple wants to bring those people and God together. And so a disciple leads others to God. A disciple leads others to God. A disciple honors God. A disciple learns from God. A disciple loves like God. And because we love, we lead others to God, who is the King, who is the Savior. We want those folks who are around us to know our God. We want them to know that it matters who your God is. And so we lead them there. Jesus, in what we often refer to as his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17 and verse 26, he is saying to the Father, I have made known to them your name and I will continue to make it known. Jesus himself is pointing out, I haven't been trying to make myself known, Father. I've been making you known. I haven't been simply trying to get them around me. And this is amazing because, of course, who are we following? We're following Jesus. But Jesus says that the purpose to come to him is because he is bringing us to the Father. And so we find one of his apostles who were trained by him, who are writing this book that most of these passages we've been discussing this morning from which they come. We find him as he's about to wrap up this book in John chapter 20 and verse 31. He said, I could have written a lot of things, but I wrote these things, and I wrote these things on purpose. Why? So that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Here is John having spent years with Jesus, trained by him, raised up by him, a disciple of him. And he says, I'm going to write this book. Why? Because I want to lead you to Jesus Christ. I want to lead you to God. A disciple leads others to God. And And it's not a passive activity. This is an activity. I want to say active activity, but that's kind of redundant, isn't it? It is an activity. It is something we do. It is something we purpose. And I understand that we can't all do the same things, and we don't all have the same degree of efficiency and mastery of leading others to God. But disciples lead others to God. And we need to be growing to that place. It's what Jesus did. It's what we need to do if we're going to be like Him. A disciple honors God. A disciple learns from God. A disciple loves like God. And a disciple leads others to God. But please be aware that a disciple does all of this while abiding in God's Word. A disciple does all of these things while abiding in God's Word. I don't just get to honor God however I feel like honoring God and assume that's honoring God. I don't just get to learn from anything and anyone and assume that I'm learning from God. I don't just love in whatever way I see fit and pleases me and assume that I'm actually loving like God. And I can't lead others to God in just any old means and with any old guide that I want. I do all of this while abiding in God's Word. It really at the heart of this, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, is I've got two ways to go. I can go my way, or I can go God's way. And guys, what do we know about my way? My way doesn't work. All right, brothers, sisters, what do we know about God's way? God's way works. Tim Royer said I hadn't said that in a while, so I had to get it in. God's way works. And how do I know God's way? I know it by abiding in His Word. In fact, Jesus, as He was talking to the Jews who were rebuking Him, He points out to them, for all that they thought they knew, He says they didn't know God. Why? He says, I know Him, and I keep His Word. Again, I want you to think about this. This is Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, incarnate deity. If anybody on the face of the earth could do whatever they wanted, surely it would be Him. But what does He do? He abides in and keeps the Word of the Father. And so, does it surprise us that when Jesus wants to nail down exactly what a disciple is, He says in John 8:31, if you abide in My Word, you are truly My disciples. In other words, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, we can come to church, but if we're not living in His Word, we're not truly His disciples. We can cut out a few things that we've decided to go ahead and give up, but if we're not abiding in His Word, we are not truly His disciples. We can do some Jesus-y things and say some Jesus-y words, but if we're not actually full of His Word and His Word is coming out of us and governing us and leading us, we're somebody's disciples, but we're not truly Jesus' disciples. Because a disciple honors God, learns from God, loves like God, leads others to God, all while abiding in God's Word. How are you doing at that? If you'd like to, you can put your notes and Bibles away. We're going to be singing another song here in just a moment. I hope you notice that this image that we've put together is a circle. Can you guess why it's a circle? Because the thing that I don't want you to believe is that, hey, I honored God. I learned from God. I have loved like God. I've led someone else to God. I've read His Word. Whew, done. That's not how it works. It's a growth process. And I'm so thankful that you're here this morning honoring God. May we grow from that and continue to honor and honor Him more and get better at honoring Him. May we learn. May we love. May we lead. And may we do it all based on His Word. I'm a disciple. I'll be honest with you, I'm not the best disciple. I'll be honest with you, you're not the best disciple. But we're growing, and we're growing together. And that's what this is about. Unless you're not a disciple at all. And if you're not a disciple at all, do you remember what we read at the very beginning of the lesson from Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20? Go into all the world and make disciples. How? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. If you would like to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, can we baptize you this morning? Do you believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God? Are you willing to believe that and change? Quit being your own king and let Him be king? Are you willing to do that so much that you would die with Him in baptism today, immersed in water, and raised to walk in a new disciple's life? If we can help you with that this morning, won't you please come forward right now as we stand and sing?